Turn with me, please, to John chapter 19. Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Give us something from your throne, Lord. Amen. In verse 1, the Word of God says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to them, 'Behold, the man.'" And in verse 19, "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.'" In Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and verse 11, the Word of God says, "Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart." Solomon, in Song of Solomon, in that passage, is a picture of Christ. His mother, the Jewish nation, crowned him with a crown for his espousal. The crown of thorns was a crown of God, of Christ's espousal to humanity. He took a bride wearing a crown of thorns. Like, have you ever considered why thorns? I always thought of it as, okay, they wanted to give him greater pain, and perhaps it is so. They wanted to give him greater pain and greater torment, so they took thorns, and they weren't these little rose thorns. They were like these long thorns, like little hunks of wood thorns. And they rammed it into his scalp, and so that he bled rather profusely, because the scalp bleeds a lot. And this was his crown. But why a crown of thorns? Well, he needed a crown because he was a king. So it was right and proper that he had a crown, but Pilate put it right. "Behold the man." Not "Behold the Lord." "Behold the man." The man king, who was God king, as a man, had to have a crown of a man, not of God. Because he bore our sins in his humanity, not in his deity. He bore our sins in his humanity. In Genesis chapter 3, the Word of God says, let's start in verse 17, "And unto Adam he said, 'Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for it was out of it that thou wast taken, for thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return.'" See, this is the place of a man among the thorns. And we feed among the thorns. In Numbers chapter 33, and starting in verse 53, the Word of God says, "And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to do more, you shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer, you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit it. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain, of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. This is a picture of the flesh. And this is exactly why Joshua was commanded, and Joshua did a pretty good job by and large, not a perfect job, of getting rid of the inhabitants of the land. The land was the place of promise, and it was inhabited by that which was not of God. Likewise, Saul, when he was told to kill everything that had to do with the Amalekites, he was told to basically kill everything that had to do with the flesh, with human reasoning, with human nature, with human way of life. Everything apart from God was to be eliminated. And in here, in Numbers, the Israelites are being told by God, eliminate everything that is flesh. And if you do not eliminate everything that is flesh, then you will suffer the fate that the flesh suffers. And part of the fate of the flesh was the thorns. So behold, the man. A king, but a king bearing the results of flesh on his body. And so his thorns became his crown. And only thorns could be that man's crown. And albeit he was a perfect man, albeit he was the God-man, it was his humanity that was paying for all of flesh. And so in his kingship, he still had to be a perfect man bearing the perfect sacrifice for everyone's result of the flesh. So it had to be a crown of thorns. No other crown could be put on his head. It had to be a crown of thorns. They put a purple robe on it because they recognized, and albeit in mocking, but they recognized the king. Notice that the flesh will always use that which is of God to attack the person who possesses it. What do I mean by that? Let's say you have a calling. I don't know, maybe you're called to be a missionary or a singer. Maybe you're called to be a preacher. Maybe you're called just to be someone in the body of Christ, edifying with your portion. Whatever it is, whatever that calling is, you can always find someone who is available through their tongue to the enemy to attack on the basis of that calling. And they will usually do it through a religious mentality, saying, oh, very good, missionary. You failed, didn't you, Satan? People do this. We've probably all heard them. People do this, Satan. You know who Satan will use? The ones who have a tongue that's available to him. You know the tongue that's available to him? The tongue that is apart from the cross. The tongue that is apart from the finished work. The tongue that is apart from the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 29, and they had plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bound the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. In Matthew 12:20, a bruised reed he will not break. Why did they give him a scepter of a reed and a crown of thorns? The scepter of the reed was the bruised reed that he was unwilling to take. A scepter is a sign of royalty and of royal authority. And God's royal authority, God's royalty is in the fact that the bruised reed he would not break. That bruised reed was a picture of a type of a flute. I don't know, there was much like a flute, but it was like an instrument. And shepherds would blow it, and according to the note that they would blow, the sheep would respond to that note. And that bruised reed was no longer able to produce true notes. And it was a worthless reed, and it would be discarded. God will not discard the believer who is bruised. God will never discard him. He will keep him. That believer will be the scepter of His kingdom. It is where His majesty lies. It is where the glory of God's throne lies. In the mercy that He has towards the believer who is a bruised reed. And so they gave Him a scepter, and it was a reed, and a crown, and it was thorns. The price of the flesh, as God redeemed the believer, that became His kingdom. In Psalm 132 and verse 17, there I will make the horn of David to bud, but I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon Himself His crown will flourish. That crown of thorns is a flourishing crown. That crown of thorns is the finished work crown of God. And it flourishes. And the Jews despised it because it was not the earthly kingdom, but it was the heavenly. It was the kingdom that took a man who was a fallen waste of a man, and it put him in the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom, God's authority is made of men like that. God's kingdom was not made of the perfect, but of the imperfect. And that is the glory of God. In John 19, they gave Him a purple robe, and He said, "Behold, the man." It was the man who became the king, so that we as men could enter heaven into that kingdom. Think about it. God and angels, but where was man? Separate in a garden. Because he could not enter the kingdom until he had perfection in his humanity, and he could not have perfection in his humanity. Not God's perfection, until God became the man and became the king of heaven. So a man is on the throne of heaven. And his crown became a different sort of a crown. In Revelation 6:2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And that very crown that Jesus wore, those very thorns that were pierced into his skin in the scalp, those very thorns became the source of his ability to conquer. You see, where the enemy thought he had defeated the Savior, where the Romans thought they would mock the man, God's power, God's victory came from that very so-called defeat. Because in what looked like a defeat to God, in truth, the enemy's head was crushed. So he went forth to conquer. And that crown changed. It changed into something completely different. In Revelation 14, and I looked in verse 14, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat like upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. You see, it was that very crown that became gold. It was those thorns that became a golden crown. They became a crown of life. And that sickle is what allows him to harvest his church. So it became a golden crown. Those thorns became something extremely special. They became the source of life in the kingdom of God for man to enter alive into heaven unto God. It had to be the crown of thorns. It had to be a crown of thorns. Nothing else would have done the trick. It had to be a crown of thorns. You know? Just a thought before we get started.